Investment flash.
2% inflation might be dead, and Worshen Vance just said the quiet part out loud.
This is the London edition for June 18th, 2026. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald.
Morning, all. Right off the bat, that inflation target talk is the kind of thing that moves bond markets before most people have had coffee.
Exactly! MarketWatch is reporting that Warsh and Vance are openly questioning the 2% target. That's huge! If the goalposts move, long bonds get crushed.
Hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Questioning is not policy change. But if they are signaling tolerance for higher inflation, gold becomes the cleanest hedge.
To be fair, the long bond ETF is already at its 52-week low. The short duration trade is absolutely packed. If the Fed walks this back, that's a squeeze waiting to happen.
But Gerald, this is exactly the moment to lean in. The bear case on bonds just got a fresh catalyst. Sell the long bond ETF, buy gold, and add tips.
I'll take gold over tips here. Gold is down 24% from its high, so it's not overbought. Tips are flat year to date, but they're boring.
Boring works when inflation is the story, Murray.
Fair enough, but I'm watching the dollar. If the target shifts, the dollar weakens, and that feeds into gold even more.
Dollar debasement is the underrated trade here.
Completely.
100%. Meanwhile, the oil market has completely shrugged off Iran. FT Companies points to looming supply gluts. The oil ETF fell over 11% in a week.
No way. And it's still up 65% year to date. The reversal is real, but selling after an 11% weekly drop feels like chasing.
Haha, yeah, look, the consensus was all long crude. Now, the narrative flit. That's classic. The easy money's gone, but bears might be late.
The contrarian signal is sell, though. That fund is 73% above its 52-week low, so the decline has room if the glut story sticks.
All right, fair, but I'm not shorting oil into potential supply disruptions. Too many wildcards.
Speaking of overhangs, BMW just warned that Chinese manufacturers are squeezing them. The stock fell over 8% in one session, down 35% year to date.
This is a structural threat, not cyclical. If Chinese EV makers keep gaining share in Europe, BMW and Volkswagen are in real trouble. I'd sell both.
But wait, Li Auto is the long side here, right? If you're bearish on European autos, you buy the competitor. Li Auto is down over 20% year to date, so it's not like you're chasing a high flyer.
Li Auto is a decent hedge, but I'd rather short BMW directly. Near its 52-week low, plenty of bad news already priced, but that warning seals it for me.
I'm with Gerald on this one. Sell European autos.
Okay. But I'm watching Li Auto. That's a value play if the competitive shift accelerates. Now, the consumer is a total Rorschach test. CarMax beat earnings, $1.31 versus 95 cents expected, and the stock still closed down nearly 9%. That's a bearish engulfing.
And then Lazy Boy also beat, retail sales up 11%, and the stock surged almost 15%. So which is it? Consumer falling apart or not?
Honestly, the CarMax chart is ugly. 34% below its high. Despite the beat, the market is saying future demand is soft. I'd sell it.
But Lazy Boy is telling the opposite story. The stock is only 10% below its high, trades at 12 times forward earnings. That's a buy.
I'm going to push back here. Lazy Boy is a furniture play. That's housing linked. CarMax is auto credit. They can diverge. The consumer might be fine for now, but financing big ticket items is getting tougher.
That's exactly my point. Lazy Boy's rally suggests the consumer still has spending power. I'd buy it.
All right, Tom's bullish on recliners, noted. But I'm short CarMax for the macro headwinds.
Fair enough, Gerald. I'll take the recliner trade over the used car lot any day.
And here's a structural headache. CNBC reports SpaceX is getting into indexes, forcing passive investors to own a stock with no earnings and a $2.7 trillion valuation, implied volatility 3 times Bitcoin.
That's insane. The space ETF fell 5% last session after a 19% surge. Pure whiplash. But, I mean, it's SpaceX, the ultimate momentum play.
Passive investors are now forced to hold something more volatile than Bitcoin. Last year, they dodged Bitcoin in indexes. Now they can't avoid this. It's absurd.
This is a regulatory nightmare waiting to happen. When index providers force ownership of highly volatile, unprofitable companies, retail money gets dragged along. I'd stay away.
I get it, but you can't deny the upside. I'm not saying buy, but watching it is a must.
Now, the most original piece today is the Bloomberg story on China tilting from loans to bonds as the main credit channel. The PBOC can now guide yields directly, a huge easing tool.
This is underappreciated. If they can lower borrowing costs across the economy by managing bond yields, that's a powerful stimulus lever. The China bond ETF is flat year-to-date and near lows. Buy signal.
But, Gerald, Chinese bonds? They're not exactly offering high returns. And if this stimulus works, wouldn't we rather buy equities? The China large cap ETF is at a 52-week low, with a price to book under 1.
Fair point, but the bond trade is lower risk. If the PBOC succeeds, bonds rise. If they fail, bonds still have a flaw. Equities are more of a gamble on corporate profits actually recovering.
I'd pair them. Buy both China bonds and equities. The bonds as a direct play, equities as the value catch-up if stimulus sticks.
All right, I like that. The China equity ETF at a 52-week low is too cheap to ignore, if credit loosens.
Quickly on European banks, WSJ says UniCredit is getting closer to taking over Commerzbank. Commerzbank shares surged over 5% last session, near a 52-week high.
Deal premiums already priced in. UniCredit is at an all-time high. I'd hold the acquirer, but the target might have limited upside from here, unless terms improve.
I'm with Gerald on this. The trade is probably baked. Next.
Yeah, but consolidation in European banking is long overdue. It's a structural positive, even if we don't play it.
On the crypto side, Bitcoin and Ether slid after the hawkish Fed. The Bitcoin ETF is down nearly 29% year-to-date, just 9% above its low. Sell.
It's acting exactly like a leveraged short on interest rates. If the Fed stays restrictive, crypto gets hit harder than equities.
Honestly, it's the easiest short in the book right now. Trend is clear.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm not touching Bitcoin until the Fed pivots.
And one contrarian call, Rothschild says Lyft could benefit from the robo-taxi boom. Lyft is down 28% year-to-date, forward PE under 7. That's deep value if they're right.
Buddy, I love this. Lyft's network is a deployment platform for autonomous vehicles. At 6.8 times forward earnings, it's a steal if the narrative catches.
Look, the robo-taxi timeline is still uncertain, but at that valuation, it's a cheap call option. I'd nibble.
I'm cautious. The regulatory path for autonomous vehicles is messy, but the risk-reward is tempting.
So, stepping back, today's signals paint a fragile reflation picture. Inflation target doubt, hawkish Fed, oil glut, BMW's alarm. It's a messy tape.
Right, but look at positioning. The long bond ETF at lows, oil down 11% in a week. The easy money on these macro trades is gone. Conviction is low.
The thing is, extreme positioning can cause squeezes. If a Fed speaker even hints at dovishness, bonds rip. So shorting TLT here is risky, even if the fundamental case looks good.
That's why gold is the cleanest expression. It benefits from inflation target erosion without needing a binary outcome. Gold is only 24% off its high.
And what's glaringly missing is any discussion about emerging market currencies. If the U.S. tolerates higher inflation, the dollar weakens. But no one is talking about long EM assets.
Exactly. the China Equity ETF at a 52-week low, the China Bond ETF flat, that's a second-order trade sitting right in front of us.
All right, so our view, long gold as a hedge, short European autos on China competition. That pair doesn't require a macro call. It benefits from the tension itself.
That pair is perfect for this environment.
Gold and short BMW, I mean.
Nailed it.
And on yesterday's call, Tom, did you notice that short on long duration treasuries from yesterday's episode? That's looking all right with TLT at lows.
For real, I'll take it. Even a broken clock, right?
All right. As always, none of this is investment advice. Just what we're watching.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back later today for the New York edition at 9 a.m. New York time. See you then.